Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
It's wonderful to be with all of you tonight. There are two things I'd like to say about this day. The first is that today is the 501st anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And Martin Luther, in a very courageous act, nailed his 95 theses on All Hallows' Eve, October 31st. So we get Halloween from that, because the next day on that Roman Catholic holy day, they were going to be selling indulgences just outside of his town, supposedly shaving years off purgatory and all of that. And thank God for a man who stood up and said, no, we have salvation by faith alone, by grace alone, and we stand by Scripture alone. And that set off a revolution of which we are somewhat the product of, very much the product of. So happy birthday, 501 years ago today. The other thing I'd like to say about today, besides it is Halloween, is that 3 weeks from tonight will be the evening before Thanksgiving Day already. Can you believe that? It's shooting up on us so fast. So tonight, next week, and the week after, I would like to talk about surviving holiday stress with you. We're going to shift gears from physics and biology and chemistry and faith, science, and wonder. And we're just going to think about the holidays coming up. I'm sorry to bring this up so quickly, but hey, 3 weeks from tonight, we'll be right in the holidays. We will not have a service here that night, the night before Thanksgiving. I'll personally be out of town with my daughter down in San Antonio. Sandy and I will be down there with her. And many of you will be traveling. Some of you will be having family come here. And then Thanksgiving sort of starts a whole month of holidays, culminating with Christmas and New Year's a week later. And this is a wonderful time of the year. I happen to really like it. The only thing I don't like about it is the temperature gets colder. But other than that, it's a great time, you know, to celebrate, to be thankful and to celebrate that Jesus came to the world. I want to invite you to go for it this season. Celebrate with all your might this wonderful season. However, it's also one of the most stressful seasons of the year. In fact, we'll be undoubtedly hearing this verse many times in December. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor." Read them out loud with me. "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, it's that last word, it's that last title for Jesus, Prince of Peace, that somewhat makes the holidays where we celebrate Christ's birth ironic. We're celebrating the coming of the Prince of Peace. And yet it is, for some of us, the most stressful season of the year. So how are we going to reconcile that? Because I not only want to invite you to go for this celebration of realizing what God has done when he sent his son to the earth, not to mention Thanksgiving Day, where we're grateful that he's given us every good thing to enjoy. So grateful our nation still marks a holiday that they haven't changed the name of it yet. It's not Turkey Day officially yet. That's what many people call it, Turkey Day. But I'm holding on to Thanksgiving, amen? It means we have a God to be thankful for, and we need to be grateful to him. So from Thanksgiving Day, 3 weeks from tomorrow, all the way into the holiday season, we don't want this season, while we're trying to celebrate all this great stuff, to be actually the season that takes away our peace. I call them the big three. These are the big three that tend to stress us out in the holiday season and steal our peace. The first one's expectations. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight. We've got to really put a bridle on our expectations and resubmit them to Jesus if we're going to walk through this season with peace. Next week, I'll talk about the second one, and that's all those uncontrollables in life. Probably stress is related to control issues more than any one other thing. And we're going to talk about how to handle things that are legitimately out of our control but still affect us. That'll cause you a lot of stress. And then 2 weeks from tonight, on the third week of this series, we'll look at obligations. Obligations. Aren't those three wonderful words? Everyone say, yuck. Expectations, uncontrollables, and obligations. Those are the things that stress us out in the holiday season. But those are all things that God has something to say to us about. Let's start with expectations. Whenever I think of the word expectation, I think of a gap. Do you realize in our lives, we are constantly negotiating a gap? There's a picture of the gap. Notice there's two lines. It's got the gap written between. The top line is what we expect, and the bottom line is what we experience. Have you ever noticed that there is a gap between what you expect and what you sometimes end up with? What I expect and what I experience. I'm trying to be a man of faith. I'm trying to walk in the Spirit, and that means I live with a gap, and that's the faith gap. It's the substance of things not yet seen, the evidence of things I'm still hoping for, right? So there's even something very biblical about this gap, that we're just not settling for what we experience. We're people of faith and vision and hope, that we believe that there's a tomorrow that can be preferable to today. There's a preferred future. There's something to believe for. There's things. We just prayed for our city. We prayed into a gap. We see what God's presently doing in our city, and we see the level of godlessness is presently in our city, but we're believing for God to do something greater than we've seen Him do before. So we just, a few minutes ago, when we prayed for Boyd, we prayed for our city, we prayed into that gap. We went, God, we just believe that You can do more than we're seeing right now. Now, That's the gap between what we hope for, what we expect, and what we actually experience. The problem is those kind of gaps in some areas in our lives can absolutely wear us out. Those gaps, you know, can get filled after a while when what we're hoping for still doesn't happen. I don't get God's timing always, but what we expect isn't happening. That gap gets filled with discouragement, right? It just gets filled with things like frustration, discouragement, and anger. And that gap creates a lot of anger in a lot of people. And so they sometimes try to just collapse the gap and just give up on dreams, give up on believing for something, for God doing something beyond what they're presently seeing. Other times, as we're walking in the Spirit, and this is where the Scripture is realistic about we all have a gap, the Scriptures would want us to fill that space between what I expect and what I experience with faith. And with joy, and even though there's that gap and it creates a tension, the Prince of Peace enters into that gap, and He actually fills us with peace. So yeah, there's some things I'm hoping for. I don't have them yet, but hey, I'm back to today, and I'm going to live today in the joy of the Lord. I'm going to live with the peace of God. So that gap doesn't tear us apart. That gap can tear you apart and wear you down and make you angry, or that gap can be a way in which you just trust Jesus and faith grows, and you just invite on a day-to-day basis the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow for, you know, and he's not saying don't believe me for things in the future, but he's just saying there's a way in which you can navigate that gap with peace and joy and faith and grace. And that, to me, is one of the great challenges of life. How are you managing the gap in your life between what you're expecting and what you're experiencing? Well, when you go to England, and how many have ever ridden the subways in England? Anybody? Yeah. So those subway doors open, and you hear this recorded voice that says in an English accent, mind the gap. Mind the gap. What are they talking about? Well, there's a little gap between the edge of the subway platform and the floor of the subway car. And they are saying, be careful, you don't trip over that little space. That space can trip you up, just like the gaps in our lives can trip you up. So I began, Sandy and I have a lot of fun with that. In fact, we checked into a hotel a couple years ago there, and it had and the low ceilings, mind your head. And the narrow stairways, mind the stairs. I love it. But I want to tell you about how we can mind the gap in this expectational stress. Mind the gap. Because I want to tell you, there is a lot of expectations that can really get us down when we come to the holiday season. And we're going to have to make some decisions about this gap. We're going to have to literally, with our minds, mind the gap. And our expectations tend to be twofold. Expectations we have of ourselves during the holiday season and expectations we have of others, right? So I wrote down a few just for instances. Like, here's what I expect how I should. This is the pressure I put on myself. I should buy the perfect gifts for everybody. Hello. That's massive stress right there. Shopping is massive stress for me. I should be a good conversationalist, even in awkward social situations with relatives that I don't see very often. I kind of put that expectation, like I should be able to carry on all kinds of conversations with all kinds of people I barely know, but I'm related to. I should be able to keep the peace between my family members. Sometimes we just expect that I've got to be kind of this miracle worker and keep everybody happy with each other. Or I ought not to forget the reason for the season, even though I'm so busy I can't even remember my name. But I just can't forget, you know? And I expect that I'll take it easy on the kids even when I'm really tired. And that, you know, I really need to add 30 names to my Christmas card list, all those names of people who wrote me last year that I didn't send a card to. And then we have a lot of expectations about how we feel. You know, I know I've met so many people, they just feel bad because they don't always feel Christmas cheer. And we just have this expectation, you know, it's the holidays, I ought to feel a certain way. And so we have a lot of expectations of ourselves, whereas you're going to find your experience falling short of that sometimes. Not that you shouldn't have the best intentions, but you can put a lot of pressure on yourself by creating a gap that you will never close with your experience. Or we have a lot of expectations of other people. Like, not only should I buy other people good gifts, but people ought to give me thoughtful good gifts, not underwear and socks like I used to get when I was a kid. And I should get Christmas cards from everyone that I sent Christmas cards to last year. And they should invite me over if I'm alone. People around me ought to invite me over if I'm alone. I mean, don't people care about me? And my family should make the way we celebrate Christmas now just like the way I used to celebrate it as a kid, just like how I used to remember. We have so many traditions, so much nostalgia around the holidays that sometimes we just carry this expectation that Christmas ought to be just like it always was when I was a kid, and that's not going to be possible sometimes. And my non-Christian parents should not get drunk on Christmas Day. I just expect them not to get drunk. Well, good luck on that one. If they're drunkards, they're probably going to get drunk. I'm sorry about this one, guys. My husband should help with the dishes instead of watching football all day. Good luck on that one. And my wife should cook the perfect turkey dinner and clean up afterwards as well. And my teenager should want to come to Christmas Eve service with the family. And everyone around me should also feel Christmas cheer and not be grouchy. Every one of those statements are expectations of things you have of yourself or things you have of others. And so when it comes to minding the gap, I'm going to make two very obvious statements. First of all, we need personally, if we're going to handle holiday stress and manage that gift with peace, as in the Prince of Peace, we need to, first of all, avoid trying to be everything to everybody. You need to give that up. You need to try to be a servant to people and love people and be the best you can. But you cannot be everything to everybody. You cross a line into an unrealistic world when you think you are responsible to meet everybody else's needs. And you somehow expect that of yourself. You cannot be everything to everybody this holiday season. And secondly, you're going to have to also, this is minding the gap. This is decisions you need to make. Other people can't make for you. And the second one is, to some degree, we need to just let people be who they are. You know, if you've got mainly non-Christian relatives, don't expect them to act like saints. Sinners act like sinners. That should not be a surprise to us, right? And even some saints don't act like saints all the time. And I want to invite you this Christmas season to just let people be who they are. And then you come alongside them and pray that God will give you words of hope, that God will show his love through you to them. But don't expect people to be your ideal of how people ought to be at Christmas. That also is an unrealistic expectation. Don't expect that you personally will be everything to everybody. And don't try to reshape everybody around you. Just let people be. Just, okay, they're being a jerk. Okay, I got this crazy uncle who comes to Thanksgiving dinner. You know what? That's just the way it is. And I'm going to pray that in the midst of that, instead of stressing out over people not behaving like I'd like them to be, I'm just going to let them be. I'm going to put them in God's hands. I'm going to go into those settings having prayed for them before I ever get to that dinner. And then I'm going to just ask the Lord to give me grace to be redemptive in the midst of people just being who they are. And what I'm trying to do is just take the pressure off. I'm not the Messiah. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is the Messiah. And I'm not going to expect that I can be everything to everybody, and I'm not going to expect everybody around me to be something different than they really are. I'm just going to let people be. I'm just going to put them in God's hands, and I'm just going to ask, Lord, help me to be your person wherever I am, and maybe act redemptively there. So that's the first part of this. You got to mind the gap by making those decisions that only you can make up front, ahead of the holidays. I'm not going to try to be everything to everybody, and I'm going to let people be all around me. And then secondly, not only mind the gap, but let's fill that gap. Not with anger and frustration and discouragement because things aren't going our way, but let's fill the gap. First of all, let's fill the gap with hope that's centered in Jesus. Not expectations we have of other people, but let's put all of our expectations, less expectations on yourself, less expectations on others, and more expectations focused on God. We call that hope. And I love this verse, refocus your hope upon the Lord. And I love this verse in Psalm 33, these three verses. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. We don't trust in people coming through for us. We don't trust in even ourselves, not sometimes stumbling around with not knowing what to say or not knowing how to buy the perfect gift. No, we trust in his holy name that we sang about tonight. Wouldn't that be nice if we were free enough and we got over ourselves enough and we got over other people enough that we just trust his holy name? All my hope, all my expectations, Lord, are in you. For verse 22, may your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And that's the transaction God wants to have with you. He wants to put beside you and in you unfailing love. No matter what conversations you're in, no matter what situations you're in, no matter what deadlines you're under in the next month and a half, he wants to put unfailing love with you. May your unfailing love be with me, Lord. I'm not going to do this alone, and I'm not going to be, you know, just loading myself down with all kinds of stressful expectations or other people, but I'm going to put my expectation in you. I'm going to hope in you. So may your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. You put your hope in him, and the transaction is that God then puts unfailing love with you. And you can walk. This could set you up to walk in the peace of the Lord. So refocus your hope upon the Lord. And then lastly, if we're going to fill the gap, Let's fill the gap with gratefulness. Let's make gratefulness our goal. And I want to challenge you this season to make gratefulness not only your goal on Thanksgiving Day, but let Thanksgiving Day be the beginning of a month of unusual gratefulness to the Lord. I've found that when I am consciously grateful for even the smallest things and take them as evidence, because John 1:17 says every good thing comes from above, from the Father of lights, of whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. I've taken gratefulness on as one of my spiritual disciplines, because left to me, I can get a little cynical and grumpy. And I counteract that by intentional gratefulness. That gap that I fight all the time in my life can lean me to grumpiness sometimes if I'm not careful instead of gratefulness. A friend of mine who's been a lot of things, through a lot of things, said, you know what? Said, self-pity is the choice to be grumpy instead of to trust God. Self-pity is the choice to be grumpy instead of trust God. But what will begin to carry you with a sense of God's conscious presence is just choosing every day as you go through the day, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this good thing. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Even small things. And thank gratefulness is like a heat-seeking radar. It's like some people say being grateful is like being on a treasure hunt. You're constantly looking for the evidences of God's goodness. So instead of constantly being focused on expectations you have of yourself and expectations you have of other people, instead you're going to fill that gap with, first of all, hope in the Lord rather than hope in people. Hope in the Lord. And then the discipline of gratefulness that is like a treasure hunt, this like heat-seeking radar, searching out for every bit of evidence in your life that God's a good God. And you focus on those things, and you're grateful, consciously grateful. Lord, thank you. Thank you for these things. Thank you, Lord, that the line is 40 minutes long at the store. Thank you, Lord. Now that takes a saint to do that, by the way. That takes almost more than I've got yet. But thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. I get to stand here for 40 minutes. It's probably good for my body to stand and not sit too much. Thank you, Lord. Who knows who I get to pray for in front of me and behind me as I stand here? Who knows a conversation I could start up with somebody that needs Jesus, that needs hope, that needs a word of encouragement? Who knows what could happen as I stand in this line? And you defy grouchiness and grumpiness and that self-pity, oh, woe is me, and this is so stressful, and it's just all overwhelming. Up front with Thanksgiving Day on, I want to challenge you to set up an attitude of thanksgiving that will mark the whole next 6 weeks of your life, all the way through the holiday season, and that you will fill that gap, not with putting your pressure on you, not with putting expectations on others, but you will hope in the Lord, and you will decide, I'm going to walk through this season grateful. So what? I couldn't find the perfect gift, but thank you, Lord, I get to give something. So what? I ran out of time, but thank you, Lord, you're sovereign over my time because I belong to you. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. And just be grateful. Just look for evidences all day for the goodness of God. He's a giver of every good thing. That means every good thing is evidence that there's a good God there. And the more I walk, I tell people I walk in the conscious presence of the Holy Spirit in two ways. First of all, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, just praying in the Spirit, just trying to commune with the Lord, praying with my understanding, just walking in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit during the day. And I've got to consciously do that. Otherwise, I get into kind of autopilot. But the other way I consciously walk in the presence of God is just being grateful. And the less I do that, the more hard it is, the more out of touch I get with the many ways that God is interfacing with my life. Gratefulness, though, is a treasure hunt in search of God's goodness. And you replace all kinds of expectations on yourself and all kinds of expectations on others, with hoping on the Lord and looking for the evidences of God's goodness this season. I wonder if that name for Jesus, Prince of Peace, might not actually mark what our experience will be like this season. He is the Prince of Peace. Aren't you glad of that?